There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Today's debate, everyone, is who is the best backstabber in fiction. Now, I'm going to start off by saying to all the listeners, a big spoiler alert. Now, because these two have to do battle, they're going to have to reach for some plot points that you might not be aware of if you haven't read the books. Please don't take out your anger. I have told you up front. Okay, Sarah Williams, who is joining us on the show, acting editor of La Femme magazine, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, that's correct.
Yes, I just got mammed. I don't know how I feel about that.
From an American.
It's excellent.
And then my co-host Yvette Judge is taking off her co-host hat momentarily. She is the children's program advisor at the Emirates Literature Foundation, and she will be championing a backstabber as well. Before we get into specifics, what are some backstabbers, other than the ones that you've chosen, and let's not mention those just yet, that really stand out for you? I know that you had trouble picking one, Sarah.
Yeah, I did. Poor Annabelle was so gracious with me because I put about six forward and she was like, darling, you must pick one. And I was like,
but there's so many evil people in books.
There are plenty to choose from, I have to say. I always think of Iago immediately.
Yes, that was certainly one that I came up with. And another Shakespeare one, Brutus. Et tu, Brute. But
literally stab someone in the back.
Literally, yes. You can't get more backstabbing than that, I feel.
Literally stab someone in the back.
I think one of the first ones that somebody said was something that, you know, I grew up with as a Christian is Judas Iscariot and how he betrays Jesus. And it's one of the things, you know, for people who have grown up in that faith that you learn from like 6 years old, you know, don't be like this dude. Don't betray your friends for some money or for some popularity. And
all those things. Yeah, I mean, Gollum. In you know, Lord of the Rings, when, you know, he's leading Frodo and you're not quite sure. And then it's not good.
And you kind of like him. You kind of feel sorry for him.
You do feel sorry for him. Edward Pevensey.
Mm. Oh, yes. That guy.
The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. He betrays his actual siblings.
I know. Guys. For a bag of Turkish delight. I'm sorry.
Well, you can nip down to just the corner shop and get some.
I know. Yeah,
I get a little bit funny over Turkish delight, I'm not going to lie.
Okay. Yeah, only if it's the rose one, though. Exactly. Only like the pink one.
So who did you actually decide on?
So I've chosen Winston from George Orwell's 1984.
Okay, good choice.
Thanks, ma'am.
I've gone for a much more serious book and serious character in my role as children's program advisor. I have chosen Peter Pettigrew from the Harry Potter series. I mean, specifically the one, I suppose, where, you know, it all happens initially is The Prisoner of Azkaban, J.K. Rowling.
This is going to be tough for me to decide. Mm-hmm. I can already see this. So if you are listening, 4001, I have to pick a winner at the end. I have to decide who is the best backstabber in fiction. But I can be swayed. My decision can be swayed by texting in to 4001. I might need some help with this, guys. Okay.
Yes, please do text in. Annabelle needs all the help she can get, I think, today in particular.
My goodness. Go easy on me. Right. So I'm going to ask each of you for an opening statement, which basically means that you need to describe the character to our listeners, give a brief synopsis of the book and how that character fits into it particularly. And then three-ish main points about why you think that they are the best backstabber, just to quickly round up your position. Okay, so I'm going to start with you, Yvette. Peter Pettigrew.
Crikey. Okay, statement. Now, I haven't done this before, and I haven't listened to any book-offs before while I've been away. So in my defence, if I get the whole argument wrong, be kind, okay? Annabelle is glowering at me.
I won't be kind.
Annabelle, I don't think you should be kind. I think you should take her down.
Okay. Flattery will get you nowhere.
Right. Okay, the gloves are off. So Peter Pettigrew features in the Harry Potter series. And the one where he sort of comes to light, as it were, is The Prisoner of Azkaban. The Prisoner of Azkaban is the one with the night bus and the escape of Sirius Black, for anyone who needs a little bit of context on that. So basically, Harry Potter, we have the story of Harry's parents, Lily and James, being killed, being slaughtered. And as a result of which, Harry has an interesting scar, and he is brought up by his uncle and aunt, who are not particularly pleasant characters. And he has a fairly grim enemy, he who should not be named, Lord Voldemort. So, yes, I did it. I named him. So the book's basically looking at Harry's battle with Voldemort. And along the way, you discover a lot of backstory, okay, of how things happened. And Sirius Black has escaped from Azkaban. And Sirius Black is blamed for leading Lily and James Potter into the evil clutches of Voldemort, who then kills them. That's the story we've got. So the thought is that Sirius Black is now after Harry. Well, various things happen, and it comes to light in the course of the book that, in fact, Sirius Black was not quite the man they thought he was. Sirius Black is not the evil one. And there's a little band of friends who are at Hogwarts all at the same time. And they were great friends. One of them was Sirius Black. They had nicknames, Messrs. Moony, Wormtail, Padfoot and Prongs. One of those four was the betrayer. But it wasn't Sirius Black. It was Peter Pettigrew.
Dun, dun, dun!
Oh, shocking. He has misled everybody. He's seen as a hero because he finds Sirius and he goes after him and he dies. Apparently, Peter Pettigrew dies a hero's death when he corners Sirius. However, Sirius destroys Peter. Or has he? All that apparently is left of Peter at that time is a finger and his Order of Merit. But that is not the case. Peter lives on in the form of Scabbers the Rat, who has been living with the wonderful Weasley family and goes to Hogwarts and is just a rat who's losing his fur. And then it all becomes obvious exactly what has happened. Now, is that enough for a bit of context? Do I need to go into...
That is great context.
Okay, should I shut up now?
You would... I think you should mention that in the later books he ends up actually serving the Dark Lord, maybe?
Oh, absolutely. Well, yeah, I mean, he has all the time. Yeah, I mean, I've got lots more points, but I don't know whether you want those now.
No, later.
Later,
but
okay.
I want you three summary points as to why he's awful.
Okay, he's awful because he betrays his friends. Mm-hmm. Okay, he lies. Oh, is it only three?
Yeah,
and he ends up actually betraying himself in a way which will become
Peter
obvious later. Yeah,
betraying himself. Okay. Yeah, just making
it sounds
notes
a bit
here.
Feeble actually, but there's lots more. So I've got.
You'll have time.
Pages.
You'll have time.
Okay.
To make your case.
I'll relax.
But we're going to move over to Sarah Williams now, who's got her champion backstabber that she needs to put forward. Why do you think Winston Smith from 1984 is the best backstabber? Tell us a bit about the character, context of how he fits into the story, and why he's awful.
Sure. So he's the main protagonist in George Orwell's 1984, which if you haven't read, I'm sorry, I'm going to spoil it, but shame on you. Winston is basically works for the Ministry of Truth in a totalitarian regime that doesn't exist. There are three super states in the world, and basically they're locked in constant war with one another. And which of the three super states they're warring kind of changes on a daily basis. And the land is that he lives in, which is formerly England, is basically ruled by this enigmatic leader called Big Brother. And basically obedience to the state is kept up by telescreens, which are two-way screens with microphones and that sort of thing. And absolutely no individualism or individual thought or, you know, anything like that are tolerated. And we follow Winston as he goes from basically quietly accepting and doing as he's told to sort of going, oh, things are a bit wrong. And then everything really, really goes all to pot when he falls in love and embarks on an affair with a beautiful woman who works in the Ministry of Truth with him. And basically they both kind of realize that they want to rebel against the state. And the reason that I think... and you know, not in revolution or anything like that. They just sort of both find out that they disagree. And they explore the world of beauty and individual thought and love and romance and all that sort of thing, and start reading books and blah, blah, blah. And I think one of the reasons that Winston ends up, for me, being such a betrayer is similar to what Yvette said about Wormtail / Peter Pettigrew, is that ultimately he betrays himself. And, you know, we've got in literature, we've got two main different types of betrayers, the conniving ones like Iago and Othello, right, who just want things and they're trying to get things. Or you have people who genuinely don't actually want to betray anyone, but they're so cowardly. And that's why I chose Winston, because it's, for me, in literature, the ultimate act of cowardice I've ever read.
Wow.
Oh, she's good.
Yeah.
Gently, gently.
Okay, so you've established your characters, why they're awful. Now it's time for a bit of a rebuttal. So is there anything, this is where you start taking the gloves off and saying, yes, they're evil, but my character is more evil. Yvette, why do you think that Peter Pettigrew is worse than Winston?
Peter Pettigrew is truly weak. He is a betrayer and he's sneaky. And, you know, he goes for the friendship group at school that he thinks going to be a really good one to align with. So that's how he starts. But then he is so easily persuaded to be fairly evil, really. And yes, it is weakness. However, I think there's also an underlying evilness to what he does. You know, Sirius Black says to him, "You never did anything for anyone unless you could see what was in it for you." And that's a truly nasty character trait to have. You know, he'd been passing information to the Dark Lord for a year before Lily and James died. You know, he should really have opted for death himself rather than betraying his friends. He's an opportunist. He just sees the moment and goes for it in that alliance. First of all with the school friends and then moving on to his alliance with Voldemort. You know, he helps Voldemort to come back. So basically he is ultimately responsible through his own weakness and genuine nastiness for Harry being an orphan, for Voldemort coming back, for all the deaths that ensue in the course of the rest of the novels. You know, he's cunning, he's got that sneaky side to him, fakes his own death.
He's responsible for a lot of collateral damage, is what
he certainly is. He certainly is. I mean, if you think of the you know, the list of people who did die as a result of him doing that initial nasty deed, it's immense. There are some great people who died, and I'm reluctant to name them because that would be a terrible spoiler alert for anybody who's in the middle of the books. And I'd hate
had enough time by
ruin any. But okay, okay. If you want names, yeah.
I think it's funny I've said that, and if Rachel Hamilton ever finds out, she will not let me live it down, because I won't let her forget that she ruined Murder on the Orient Express for me.
This is true. Yeah, that's quite a bad one. But
anyways, yeah. So Peter Pettigrew.
Yeah.
Right, so Sarah, when it comes to Winston, how do you respond to that? Why do you think that he's worse? And are there any points that Yvette mentioned that you want to pick up on?
No, I think Yvette's right, and Peter Pettigrew was a truly horrendous, weak-spined human being. I think in terms of just literature, not as describing traits, the reason that in literature I think that Winston is the worst betrayer is because you love him so much and you want him to win. Mm-hmm. You want him to be free. You feel the oppression of, you know, this constant war-torn country. You're really rooting for he and Julia to stay together and to kind of rebel in their own beautiful little, you know, lovely way. And in the end, when he's tortured and he survives for so long and there's so much rhetoric that he stands up against, you know, there's a line that says, sorry, I'm going to mangle it a bit, but summing up, if you can stay human no matter what they throw at you and no matter what comes your way with the whole aim of just being human, you'll have won. So it's not about, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, Orwell was anti-fascism, he was anti-communism, he was anti-Stalin, he was personally a socialist, but also stood against, you know, communism like Stalinist Russia and whatever. And the whole point really isn't about a government or the type that it takes or anything like that. It's about human nature and humankind. And when they finally put him in the room and, you know, put a bag of hungry rats on his head and he screams out, "Don't do it to me, do it to Julia." That's at the very end of the book. And you've come along through this harrowing journey and you're rooting for Winston and you're rooting for Julia. And in the end, nobody suggests to him, betray the love of your life. It's his idea. And basically, once Big Brother and the government can break him down to the level where he goes, do it to basically my wife and the woman, only woman I've ever loved, it's absolutely devastating. You know, I have a friend who said, I dropped the book. You know, I was on the tube and I dropped the book because I couldn't believe it happened. You know, and in the very, very end, I think maybe the last line or towards the end, he comes to love Big Brother and he comes to love this totalitarian regime. It's one for you, Annabelle.
Yeah, I'm not going to try and say that today with my track record.
So basically, he betrays literally everything he believes, everything that he comes to stand for through this journey and the woman he loves. And though maybe the collateral damage isn't as strong as Peter Pettigrew's, I think in the end, the only option for somebody like that would really be, it's the death of yourself. Your brain has died. Your moral fabric has died. Whereas, you know, Peter Pettigrew never had that to begin with. You know, it isn't a breaking down, an ultimate betrayal of self. That's just who he is. He's just a pretty bad person.
Yeah, I see that, because as you were talking about it, it is, I think the betrayal of self is worse with Winston. With Peter Pettigrew, it's almost like he never had, it's like he never really knew who he truly was in the first place, did he?
Yeah, but we can all make choices in our life, and he made that one choice right at the beginning, which comes out of being a weak person, that he had opportunity to put right and he didn't. And I think, you know, the final thing, how he does eventually die, is that he has this silver hand that actually he strangles himself. I think that's such a clever way. So actually, by being this nasty person, this betrayer, the traitor, treachery, all those words, it all comes back and he ends up destroying himself. But I think my big thing with Peter is he's the one who ultimately is responsible for all the collateral damage, as we say, you know, the whole thing that happens throughout the books. And if
because he leads Voldemort to Lily and James,
absolutely.
Doesn't
he? He betrays them completely. Voldemort knows where they are because Peter Pettigrew tells him where they are. That's how he finds them. And, you know, he puts the blame on Sirius and he's happy for Sirius to take it. And ultimately, you know, when you've got Bellatrix Lestrange who ends up killing Dobby, the house elf.
Stop.
The absolute worst part in any
absolutely.
Book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the worst piece of collateral damage. And for me at that point, there is no redemption for Peter Pettigrew. If he hadn't done what he did, forget the rest of it, forget all the others. But Dobby, no. No, that just did it. No, and any sneaking sympathy for his weakness and it's gone.
Oh, goodness me. I forgot coming into this segment that it was going to get sad.
Yeah.
You don't kill house elves. That's
no, you don't kill
them.
No. I mean, Cedric Diggory was bad. You know, when Cedric
yeah,
died.
Yeah, but he was but only good looking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dobby was way worse.
Absolutely. Yeah. Just no. No, oh,
this is kind of tough because now I want to jump in and go, yeah, 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 exactly, exactly. But no. He wasn't as bad as Winston.
This is actually very difficult.
We're now going to start arguing against each other.
This is actually
no,
very
you're
difficult.
Right, you're right. No. Yeah, yeah.
Because they are both utterly awful, and it's. I actually don't think that it's one more than the other. I think that they betray in different ways, but I think when you add it all up. You know, which I have sort of been doing here on this piece of paper.
Yeah, I've noticed you jotting down lots of things. She has been keeping score.
Actual score.
When you add it all up, they are on a par in different ways in terms of betrayal. And I think this is the first time.
Oh, Annabelle is stuck for words. The first time ever in her life. Annabelle is stuck for words.
A bad trait in a radio host.
Yeah. I think we should let Ariel arbitrate.
I think we are going to go, and I'm going to call this one a tie.
Oh, my God. Wow. Do we both get ice cream sundaes? Is that the prize?
Fictional radio ones, yes.
Wonderful. So tasty.
Oh, yum.
Really going to enjoy that.
Well done to both of you for putting your points forward so eloquently and making me unable to choose between the two of you.
Wow, look at that. Who'd have thought it? Peter Pettigrew and Winston.
Mm.
Both
and,
awful.
And can I just jump in and say, if you haven't read the 8 Harry Potter books in 1984, you must do. They're both really wonderful in their own ways.
Yeah, and I've
read 1984 about four times, and I've read the entire Harry Potter series twice. And they're both really great, and you should read them.
You should.
After awarding a tie.
No. Speaking of betrayals.
Instagram is a swing state, apparently.
What?
We've had two votes for Peter against one for Winston.
Yay! Thank you, Instagram. Ariel's completely faked that. Thank you. Ariel's in the studio today doing all our social media.
Thanks. It was just a bit of fun. But thank you so much to both of you for doing that. Sarah Williams, acting editor of La Femme magazine and wonderful bookworm.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.